In this edition of the Mishnayos, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudalad, they're continuing to quote different memories of Rabbi Akiva. So he says, Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem, Chaviv Insel Shenikru Banim Lamokim. Most of the Mefarshim assume that Chaviv Adam refers to all human beings that are created B'Tzelem Elakim. Some Rishonim seem to have understood that Chaviv Adam only refers to Adam Arishon. Kuzari sounds like that. Adam Rishon was given Tzelem Elokim, and he only transmitted it to one of his children, Adam Sheis Enosh Kena Mahalala, the way it says in the beginning of Sefer Divrei Yomim. And then it went to Avram, to Yitzchak and Yaakov, the Inyan Hu Eloki, he calls it. And then Yaakov was Mitoso Shleima. All of his children had this Tzelem Elokim. But that's an unusual pshat. Most of the Rishonim don't learn like that. Chaviv Adam means all human beings were created with Tzelem Elokim. And B'nai Yisrael have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. Shenikru Banim Lamokim. What does it mean, Banim Lamokim? Like the children carry over the DNA from their parents. So there's a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. That's the way the Vilna Gaon learns Pshat in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavai. It says, V'halachta B'drochov. We should imitate the ways of God. That's how the Rambam calls it, Mitzvah Lehidamais Lakel, to imitate the ways of God. Why should we imitate the ways of Hashem? Sometimes a child will make believe that he's a doctor. He'll make believe that he's taking your blood pressure or checking your heartbeat or something. A little girl will dress up like a mommy. Someday she probably will be a mother. And someday the boy may taka be a doctor. Well, why should we imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is he thinking of retiring and we're going to take over for him? So why should we do halach b'drochav? So the answer is, halach b'drochav does mean to imitate someone whom you are not. It means to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that's within us already. We already were born with the Tzelem Elokim. B'nai Yisrael were born with even a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim than Hum Asalem. It's called Banim Lamokim. We have a great degree of Tzelem Elokim. So the Torah requires of us, halach b'drochav, to preserve that Tzelem Elokim. So that's how they quote from the Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Deres Aliyahu on Chumash. They quote from the Vilna Gaon that that's pshat, and that's the next pasuk. We're all kalami ha'aretz, when all the nations of the world will see kishem Hashem nikru alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving your tzelem elokim. Shem Hashem nikru alecha, the yaru mimekol. They will learn from you how to act with Yerushamayim. The Umas Olam also have tzelem elokim. So just like we succeeded in preserving our tzelem elokim, they can do the same as well. That's where they quote the pshat from the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara has a pshat, Baro Kalam Heretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecho Eilu Tfilin Sheberosh, that when a Jew wears tefillin, so the Umas Olam will be afraid of us. But that's obviously not the pshuto shel mikra. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted by the Talmidim. The Deres Aliyah was written by the Talmidim. So he was quoted as saying he thinks that that's the pshuto in this Mishnah, in that pasuk in Chumash. The din is that a Jewish person has nemanis, eidech and neman bisurim. If you have two eidim, they have neman even in mamas and vashas and in dovish b'yerva. But if one is a rasha, then he's pasul eidah. So what is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, I think it's in the collection of drushes ala tshuva, so he suggested that the pshat is every Jewish person has a tzelem elokim. And one of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe one of the most important midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is midas of emes. The Gemara calls it chaysom shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. When the Rebbe Shalom signs a letter, he'll sign emes. As the Gemara says, a note fell down from heaven and it was signed emes, and they knew that it was from the Rebbe Shalom. Chaysom shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. So it calls man that a person is a shema mitzvah, so he has them on us, because when he was born with the midas elokus of emes. But when he becomes a rasha, he's mekalkal his tzelem elokim, so he loses that midas emes. That's why he doesn't have them on us. This was his suggestion, based on this idea that every human being has tzelem elokim, and B'nai Yisrael have a deeper degree. The Mishnah has more than that, though. The Mishnah says chaviv anu shenivir b'tzelem. Chibi serin the daslo shenivir b'tzelem. Then it says chaviv in the sol shenikra banam la'makim. Chibi serin the daslohem shenikra banam la'makim. That is the repetition. Isn't the second sentence the same as the first? So the Rambam has a famous interpretation on this Mishnah. Similar to what the Gemara says in Beitzah, if you give a gift to someone, so he may not, if you're going to keep it a secret, he won't know who sent him the gift, and he won't realize that you want to develop a friendship, want to develop a relationship. So the Gemara says, whenever you give a matana to someone, you have to notify him who's giving the matana. You shouldn't give it anonymously, and you should notify him how significant the matana is if he doesn't realize. If it's a box of chocolates, so it's a box of chocolates, okay. But the Rebbe Shlom gave us Shabbos, and he had to tell us how significant Shabbos is. The Gemara said, we would never have known how significant Shabbos is. That's part of the din of Tzarech L'Hadil. You have to notify the person who is giving you the gift, that you're giving the gift, and how important, how valuable that gift is. Here the Mishnah says, Chaviv Bandim Shenivri B'Tzelem, that's one thing. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have told us, there are many human beings that don't believe that man was created. Many don't believe in God. So they don't believe in God because there's no such thing as Tzelem Elokim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified us that we were all created B'Tzelem Elokim. That's a higher madrega of not only did he give us a matan, he gave us a tzelem alakim, implanted it within us. He told us the nature of the matana. Chibi yisera nadaslo. The Rambam translates nadaslo. Kodesh Baruch Hu notified us that this is the nature of the matana that he gave us. Several mishnayos in this perek repeat the same idea that whenever people learn Torah, there will be a Hashuas Hashchina. So the Mishnah says, if 10 people are learning Torah, there's Hashuas Hashchina. If 5 people are learning, 3 people are learning, 2 people, and even 1 person, is going to be a Hashuas Hashchina. It's repeated in a few Mishnahs here. Here it's a Mishnah Vav, but it's earlier. So the idea behind Tefillah is that a person is Oymed Lifnei Hashem. So usually that's in the Beis HaMikdash, is Lifnei Hashem. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech says in his tefillah when he built the Beis HaMikdash. He says he built this Beis HaMikdash for what purpose? That we would have said to bring korbanos. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. There's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. We should have a place to bring korbanos and to be oil regal. So Shlomo HaMelech doesn't say to bring korbanos. The long tefillah, he says everyone should come to daven here. That we should daven. This is a home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's our neighbor. We should come in to speak to him, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's a Jew or it's non-Jew. Like the Novi says, Ki Beisa Beis Tvili Koy L'Cholam. The non-Jews also, if they want to pray to the God of the Jewish people, they want to pray to Jesus, we don't allow them to come into the shul and pray to Avodah Zarah. But if they want to pray to Elokei Yisrael, so Adarabah. So the shul is open to them as well. So the Beis HaMikdash is anyone who wants to, a Jew, a non-Jew, should come and daven, whether it's an epidemic that's taking place, or there's a famine, or there's a war, or it's a private person has an asik, someone babbled him, everyone should come and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Shlomo HaMelech says, and if the person doesn't have the ability to come to daven into the Beis HaMikdash, so then today everybody's tummy, so we're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash to daven. So you should daven in Yerushalayim facing the Beis HaMikdash. Par alecha derech habayis hazeh. And if you live outside of Yerushalayim and it's too difficult to go to daven by the coastal of Marobi, so you should face Yerushalayim. Par alecha derech ha'ir hazos. And if you live in Chutz La'aretz, you should face Eretz Yisrael. Par alecha derech ha'artzom. You don't have to. Let's say a person is going to live in Chutz La'aretz, going to face Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to try to be mechavin to face Yerushalayim. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. And all of Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. You don't have to be mechavin. Let's say the person lives on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, he can face Yerushalayim. And if he'll tilt a little bit further, he'll be facing the Bokam HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech said that's not necessary. If you're davening away from Yerushalayim, just face Yerushalayim. You don't have to try to face the Mikdash. If you're in Yerushalayim, then you try to face the Beis HaMikdash. So the reason why you daven facing the Beis HaMikdash or in the Beis HaMikdash, that's Lifnei Hashem. That's where the Hashuas Hashchina is. So the Gemara tells us, Miyom Shechar, the Gemara Brocha says, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Baylom, Ela Dal Ram Mishel Halacha. When people learn Halacha, people learn Torah, then it's going to be Hashuas Hashchina. That's what the Mishnah keeps on repeating. And Perikimel and Pirkei Avos. So that's why the Gemara has a din in Brochus, Dushmoel Harina Ve'el HaTfilo. that b'makom rina sham tehei tefila. Rina means rina shel Torah. When you learn, it's supposed to be dvarim smechim kinesinas and misinas. It's supposed to be cheerful. Torah is supposed to be cheerful, not supposed to be a drudgery. So the Gemara says it's preferable to daven in the same location where you were learning, even though maybe if you go to shul you have a bigger minyan. Let's say go to shul, there'll be 100 people davening. You're going to daven where you are, it'll only be 15-20 people. So it's really b'roivam hadus melach. So the Gemara says this is more important, to daven in the same place where you learn. That's a greater hider. L'shmoel harina v'el ha'tfila b'makam rina sham tehei tefila. There's even an opinion among Machlekes the Rishonim how far that goes. How far does that din go? That you should daven in the place where you learn. What if the place where you learn there is no minyan? So you'd be davening b'yichidus. There are only five, eight people there. There is no minyan. If you go to shul, you will have a minyan. So there even some Rishonim hold that it's preferable to daven b'yichidus in the location where you were learning rather than to go to shul to daven b'tzibur. I don't think that's the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is if you have tzibur, but if you go to shul, it'll be a bigger tzibur. It'll be a b'rei v'am hadas melech is a greater hidur. So nonetheless, we prefer to daven in the place where we learned. Why? Because when a person learns Torah, we assume there will be a hashuas hashchina there. And we assume that all of Eretz Yisrael also has a lower level of kedushas hamikdash. The Medrash has a loshen kola kover be'eretz Yisrael kilu kover tachas hamizbeach. Means that the one gets a mechilas avinus, one gets kapora. When you have a mizbeach, so you can bring karbonis, they gain kapora. So the Gemara comments on the Gemara on the end of Ksubas comments on the pasuk at the end of Hazino, the Kekluni pasuk. The chiper ad masay amay. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, benevu, there's going to be a holocaust. And the people are going to be wondering where was God when all of this was happening. That's what everybody was saying after the Holocaust. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Shira Sazino. People will be asking, and after the Holocaust will be over, then it says, how do you translate the words? So Rashi on Chumash writes, the Pshuto Shal Mikra means V'chiper, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mefayes, Ad Mosoi, he will be Mefayes his land, he'll be Mefayes Eretz Yisrael, he'll be Mefayes the Jewish nation. That after the Holocaust was over, that's when they had Hakamas HaMedina, and everything developed so quickly. It's unbelievable. From nothing, with Mamash Yesh Me'ai. A Jewish government and all the developments that are taking place in Eretz Yisrael. So that's V'chipa Ad Mosai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land. He'll rebuild everything in Eretz Yisrael. And he will appease the Jewish people. That was the darkest part in the history of the Jewish people. During the Holocaust, so many Jews were killed, tortured, and everything. And afterwards, the Jewish people are Yesh Me'ayin. That making yeshivas all over the world and making a lot of money. People came to America, refugees came, mamish penniless, and they became multimillionaires. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeased his land and he appeased his nation. So Rashi writes, that's the Pshuto Shal Mikra. The Chippa means he will be Mephias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease Admasai V'Amai. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, but it's not really Pshuto Shal Mikra at all. The additional level of interpretation is V'chipa ad masai amai. If a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a mechilas avinus. So that's why the Amoraim and Bovel used to leave instructions. If it was feasible, if it was possible, they wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Kalakova b'Eretz Yisrael, kilakova tachas hamizbeach. It means that he gets a kapor. Then the Gemara says, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have more of a kapor. Kala hamalach da'al aramiz b'Eretz Yisrael. Gets a mechilas avinus. Ein adayim kaltosa lachamisa lekaltosa mechaim. If a person comes to Eretz Yisrael while he's alive and he lives there, so it accomplishes more of a mechilas avinus than if he's just buried in Eretz Yisrael. But that's the idea that the Medrash says that all of Eretz Yisrael, kalakova Eretz Yisrael, kilukova tachas hamizbeach, that all of Eretz Yisrael has a kedushas haoretz. That's Machayb and Trumas and Maisus and Shmita V'yoyba, like in Shikha Peya, but it also has a different level of Kedusha. A lower level of Kedusha is HaMikdash. That's Menachem Zembe has an essay in the Oitzer HaSifrei. Rabbi Nachum Zemba was a great Goen, and his father-in-law supported him. And after the father-in-law died, he had to take over the father-in-law's business. Father-in-law had a hardware store. So he worked in a hardware store, Rabbi Nachum Zemba. And he had chaverim. He was a Polish. So there were Polish Goenim who knew Shas, Bavli, Rushalmi. They knew all the Yosamech, knew all the Ragon Shabbos. They knew everything. But they were businessmen. So one of his chaverim, by the name of Yoskevich, I forgot his first name, put out the Sifrei Zuta with Heoris, with footnotes on the bottom, full of Bekiyas and genius, Chidushim, Nifloim, and everything. So he asked, he sent the manuscript to Menachem Zemer, because does he have any Heoris? So he sent him a 99-page kuntres on the Esek Kedushas, on the level, on the Mishnah. The Mishnah appears in the Perek Aleph and Kalim, and it appears also, that's the first passage in the Sifrei Zuta. So there are discrepancies, there are shinuim between the way it appears in the Mishnah and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. Menachem Zemer wrote this 99-page essay on the shinuim in the schos between the way this Mishnah appears and Mishnah and in the Sifrei Zuta. So one of the points that he brings out is that there are two levels of, there are two aspects to Kedusha Saras. One aspect is, has Kedusha Saras Yisrael, Schaiv and Trumas and Isis and all the mitzvahs and Satliyas Bar. Then there's another inyan, that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. As the Kedushas HaMikdash means there are 10 levels within Kedushas HaMikdash. The Kodesh HaKadoshim Ben Abadim is the highest level of Kedusha. Then you go to the Heichal, has a slightly lower level of Kedusha. Then Ben Hu Level HaMizbech is a lower level. Then you have the Azor has a lower level. Then you have Eretz Yisrael. The first 11 Amis in the Azor we allow non-Kohanim to go. After the first 11 Amis we only permit Kohanim to go. Then you have Ezis Noshim. Ezis Noshim is part of Harabais, but not Torah, all of Harabais has one level, and the Rabbanan, they divide it into three levels. So the Mishnah is giving you 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. The lowest level is all of Eretz Yisrael has a level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So that's what the Medrash means when it says, Kol HaKovah Eretz Yisrael, Ki L'Kovah Tachas HaMizbeach, that he gets Mechilas HaVeinus, that all of Eretz Yisrael has an aspect of Kedushas HaMikdash. The Mishnah has Mishnah here, it's Mishnah Gimel. Before, when I was preparing, I was using a siddur. I was using this art school siddur. So there is Mishnah Dalet. Okay. So Reb Shimon says, Shlosh Shoch al Shulchan Echot. If three people ate together, below Amr Olav Divrei Torah, they didn't say any Divrei Torah. Kilo Ochlam Izivchem Eishim. It's considered as if they ate Tikruvus Avodazar. That's an expression that appears in Tehillim. The Bartanura says, Vayachl Izivchem Eishim. It means that they ate the kruvus avodazar. So shlosh shoch la shulchan ech be omra alav di retar ki lo achan mishulchan usham makayim, as the Novi Yecheska says, zah shulchan asher lefnei Hashem. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that eating food is something we share in common with the behemoths. All the animals have to eat food in order to be alive. So if we want our eating to be elevated to the level of a mitzvah, we can accomplish that. If you say the Torah when you're eating the food, otherwise the eating the food is going to be like behemoths eat food. It's a very, very non-Kodesh activity. The Rambam develops an idea in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Deis. He quotes the Pasuk, B'chol derachecha do'ehu, that a person, most of the day, a person works for a living, then he eats meals, then he goes to the bathroom, he takes a shower, he raises a family, lives with his wife. You do a lot of secular things all day long. So if a person has in mind that he's making a parnasa in order that he should be able to do avodas Hashem, so when he goes to work, that's also a mitzvah. And when he eats the food, if he has in mind, the eating of the food will enable him, he'll have energy to do Torah, to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs, then eating the food is elevated to the level of a mitzvah. That's a hechsher mitzvah. Not only is that he gets schar for doing a hechsher mitzvah as well. There's a sugya in the Gemara in the last parak in Psochem. There's a machlekes ha-tanoim. There are two tanoim, but there are three shitas. There are two versions of what Hillel said. Machlekes, whether they ate Pesach matzah mar all three together bevasachas, or they ate them dafke separately. The Gemara said the machlekes is whether mitzvahs mevatle zu azu. What does it mean? So the Gemara continues to explain. if you're going to eat matzah together with something else, chocolate at the same time, chocolate bar at the same time, the chocolate bar is an achilu shel reshus, so that pulls down the level of mitzvah from eating the matzah. You only eat the mitzvah of matzah, eating karbonis or eating mara, whatever you're eating, korban pesach, if you eat it only a dvar mitzvah. If you eat it together with a dvar reshus is not a dvar mitzvah, so the whole achilah is labeled as dvar reshus. You're not yotze the mitzvah. The machlokes hatanoim is based on psukim. What if you eat matzah with mara or with korban pesach altogether? They say all the mitzvahs are competing with each other, and each mitzvah doesn't recognize the significance of the other mitzvah. So from the perspective of the mitzvah matzah, the mara is a dvar reshus. From the perspective of the mitzvah mara, the mitzvah of korban pesach and the mitzvah matzah is a dvar reshus. So you're eating your korban, or you're eating the matzah and the mara together with something that's not the mitzvah. From the perspective of each mitzvah doesn't hold from the other mitzvah. They say, no, mitzvah zeim abat lezuzu. As long as you're eating all the things together that are mitzvahs, that doesn't pull down the level of the achila, that you should label the whole achila as a dvar hoshus. So that's the Rishayim say over there. That's the idea behind that whole sugya, that the mitzvahs mevat lezuzu, that achila is a dvar hoshus that we share in common with the animals. You can elevate it to the level of a mitzvah if you say givitar on the shulchan, and you have in mind that with this achila, this is going to give us energy to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, and so on. It's an important idea. Towards the end of the perek, here everything is different. Towards the end of the perek, you have a Mishnah. Kol she yirasa kademis lachachmasai, chachmasai miskayemes. Kol she ein yirasa kademis lachachmasai, ein chachmasai miskayemes. This is based on a pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Perek Bamem Adlikin. I think it's Daf Lamed Aleph. In Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnayos in a systematic fashion. They divided the whole Torah Shebaal Peh into six sections, based on the pasuk V'Hoya Emunas Itech Achosin Yeshuas Chachmas Vadas. So each one of those six words represents Emunas, represents Zroim. Tosis explains why. What's the connection? Itech represents Moed, Itim is times. Chos and Yeshuas is Noshim and Zikin, and Kochim and Taris is Chachmas Vadas. And then the pasuk continues, concludes. Has it end off? Yiras Hashem hi Oitzorai. You have to have a base Oitzor to store up, to contain all of this Torah that you learn. So the base Oitzor will be if the person has Yerushamayim. The person doesn't have Yerushamayim, so he's lacking the base Oitzor. So whatever he learned, he's going to forget. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin talks about this a lot in Nefesh HaChaim. He has a whole section about the significance of Limud HaTorah and about Yerushalayim. He complains when he founded the Volozhin Yeshiva, he sent out letters all over to all the communities begging the Balabatim to donate Svarim. They didn't have, many communities didn't have a whole Shas. Most of the communities did not have a whole Shas. So he was asking all the people to please donate Gemaras. They have to start this new Yeshiva. What Svarim did they have? They didn't have, they weren't into so much into learning Gemara. They didn't have Shulchan Aruch Zidah so much. They had Sifrei Musa. So he complains, what's this shtick? They're learning so much Musa. You have to learn Musa to develop Yerushalayim, to have the Beis HaOitzer, to hold all the Torah. But does it make sense? Let's say a person is a farmer and is going to harvest all of the Tevuah. Then he has to have a big silo to contain everything. Going to leave all the Tevuah outside in the farm, so when it comes to winter, it's going to rain, everything is going to get ruined, it's going to snow, all the food will get ruined. So he's building a storage house. He keeps on building the storage house and makes the walls thicker and stronger and sturdy. He never puts the food inside the house. So he made such a big Beis HaOitzer, but he didn't put anything into the Beis HaOitzer. So it doesn't make any sense to study Musar all day and all night and not to learn any Torah. A little bit of Musar is okay, but it shouldn't be exaggerated. He complains that they're too much into Musar. They should, the Musar is the Yirah Shamayim, that's the Beis HaOitzer, and they should fill up the Beis HaOitzer with Torah. He tries to make a calculation based on the Gemara of how many minutes a day a person should spend learning Musar. In Balojan, they didn't have a Musar Seder, because by Prime Balojan, it was a pogrom. Prime Balojan was when it was first founded. Rabbi Saul Salanter started the Musar movement later. But even after he started the Musar movement, there was a big machlokes, and there was a machlokes in Balojan, whether they should introduce Musar, and their rabbanim were opposed. They said, Prime Balojan, hell, you don't need it. If you're learning Torah, you need a little bit of Musar, 5-10 minutes a day, okay. If the person feels he needs more, he needs more. So that's the idea in the Mishnah. Kol shirasa kademis l'chachmasai, chachmasa miskayim, is that the Yirah Shamayim is considered the Beis HaOitzer to contain all of the Torah. Then the Mishnah has a similar din, but it's not identical. You have to have kol shamaisav merubim echachmasai. Is a mila, and if chachmasim rubim b'maisav, that's a big chisar. That's the Mishnah here. It's Mishnah Yud Zayin, next to the last Mishnah in the pair. There are many people who feel they're only going to observe those mitzvahs that they understand the reason and they understand all the details. If they don't understand what the mitzvah is all about, they're not going to observe it, even though they know that it's a mitzvah, it's binding. So that's scandalous. You have to be ma'isav merubim mechachmasai. If you're only going to fulfill those mitzvahs that you have the chachma, you understand what it's all about, and you understand all the details, then you're not observing. That's not kabbalas al machash shamat. Kabbalas al machash shamat means we accept the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we accept the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do what he tells us to do. We have to do things even if you think that they don't make any sense. That's this week's Haftarah, the Haftarah of Parshas Behar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi Yirmiyah, the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and they're about to send all the Jews into Golus Babel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyah Navi that his relative, his uncle or his cousin, I forgot, his uncle, his Hanamel, is going to come from the city Anasos, and he's in need of money, so he wants to sell his real estate, so you should buy it. So the Rebbein Shalom gives him a nevuah. So he buys a cousin, uncle comes and he buys it. And then after he buys it, and he says, and you should write a shtar, and you should put away the shtar and keep it in a klicheres leman yam the yamim bribe. And after he buys it, and the cousin, his uncle or his cousin, I forgot already, leaves, then he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the end of the Haftarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know everything, you understand everything. Why in the world did you tell me such a tzibah that absolutely doesn't make any sense at all? What kind of investment is this? The real estate is worthless. The enemy is about to conquer it, so they're going to send the soldier to go. So I'm not going to have the field that I bought. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I know what I'm doing. This is a simon to show all the Bnei Yisrael the Golus Babel is not going to be so long. It's only going to be 70 years. And after the 70 years, you're not going to live so long, but your children and your grandchildren will come back, and they're going to have the shtar. And there should be mechazik, everybody. They should know that they're coming back. So the Navi didn't ask the kasha in advance. The Baruch Shalom tells him, your cousin is going to come buy the field. So he buys the field, and then he asks the Baruch Shalom, what did he tell me to buy the field for? You're not supposed to ask kashas in advance. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the same is by the Maisa, by the Akedah. Avraham Avinu was originally told, to be Yitzchak, Yikor L'chazera. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Yisru Shechti Yitzchak, Aleu Sham Le'oilo. If he shechts me, he wasn't married yet, didn't have any children yet. So what's going to be with the Haftocha? Then the last minute he's about to shech the man in his mezbeach, then the Malach comes and says, "Al tishalchi yadcha la'nar." He shouldn't. So everything contradicts everything else. So the Avraham Avinu doesn't ask any kashus. Baruch Shalom tells him, "Halei li'oila." He's about to do it. Then Baruch Shalom tells him, "Al tishalchi yadcha la'nar." He doesn't. He listens, but to the tzibah Hashem. After the whole thing is all over, then Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Avraham Avinu asks, "But I don't understand. I did what you told me to do, but I don't understand why." It doesn't make any sense. So that's the din. You have to have ma'isa meruba mechamasa. If it was clear to the Navi Yirmiyah, it was clear to Avraham Avinu, it was clear to him what the nevuah was, he has to do what he was instructed. And then you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can daven later on, ask Rabbeinu Shalom, please explain to me what was this all about. So that's an important issue. We have today a lot of Jews, they think they're so intelligent, they think they're as smart as the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they're only going to observe those mitzvahs that make sense to them. Whatever does make sense, if they don't understand it, they're not going to do it. That's not called Kabbalah Shel Malchus Shamayim. Then in the middle of the Perek, there's a Mishnah. If a person is Mahalach Baderech, and he's Shoneh, he's reciting Mishnayos, and he's Mafsik Ben Mishnasa to say, Mano Ilan Zeh, Mano Nir Zeh, and the Mishnah says, Harez HaMizchai Ben Afsha. What is that all about? So it's interesting, we recite every day in Kriya Shema, V'yahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah that we should develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very hard to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's invisible. How can you develop a love for an invisible being? So Rashi on the Pasuk and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei, the way to fulfill we have to Hashem Elokecha is by doing the next Pasuk, Bahayu Advarim Ha'ela. When you learn Torah, you develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We assume that the Torah is a law book, a collection of dinim, but in addition to being a collection of dinim, it's also a description of Elokus. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell us outright what is Elokus, we wouldn't understand one word. We wouldn't understand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us Derech Mashal. If he would give a Mashal, we wouldn't understand the Mashal either. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in the Nefesh HaChaim, so he gave us the Torah, which is a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal of a Mashal, to understand what Elokus is all about. That's why in Sefer Shmuel, the Pasuk describes the Torah as the Mashal HaKadmoni. It's a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes this on Parshas Mishpatim, on the Pasuk where Elokim Inu LeYodoi. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Elokim Inu LeYodoi means it's not really his fault. It was Ben HaShamayim. I was driving a car and I ran somebody over B'Shoigig. There was an accident. I killed the person B'Shoigig. So what, I have to go to the Ori Miklot? It was Elokim Inu LeYodoi. The Pasuk doesn't make sense. Why am I punished? Why do I have to go to the Ori Miklot? So the Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the Pasuk says, Kasher Yoyma HaMashal HaKadmoni, as the ancient proverb goes, Mirushayim Yetzei Resha, all evil things Ben HaShamayim, if they need someone to do some dirty work, so they'll pick on a Rasha. And if they need someone Ben HaShamayim to do a mitzvah, so they'll pick on a tzaddik. Magaglam Schus HaYidei Zaka B'choy V'adei Chayiv. So the fact that I was chosen in HaShamayim as the shliach to run the guy over to kill him, it seems to indicate that I must be a Rosh. I must have done something wrong before. Rashi quotes the whole story that I did an aver, I deserve a punishment, and then I was never punished, so I'm going down on a ladder and I fall on someone and I kill him. Then they're going to send me to the Ori Miklat. The punishment to go to the Ori Miklat not necessarily going to be because of the fact that I caused the guy to die. It wasn't my fault. There was a lekim in alaviyot. It's min hashamayim. They caused me to be the shliach leruah because I must have done some avera before. So that the loshon haposuk is kasher yoyma hamashal hakadmoni merishayim yetzei resha, as the ancient proverb goes. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. What is the mashal hakadmoni? That's the Torah. The chamishu chamishu Torah. Hu mishalosh hakadosh baruch hu shehu kadmonu shel olam. The ancient one with the capital A is hakadosh baruch hu. He's the Kadmonu Shel Olam, and the Mashal HaKadmoni is the Torah. So what does it mean? It's a Mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, but the Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his essays in the Sefer Shem Olam, not all the Svarim of the Chafetz Chaim are about Lashon Hara. Many of them have nothing to do with Lashon Hara. He writes about Jewish thought and Jewish philosophy, Hashkofa. So he says, Mashalosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu means it's like a photograph. And he says, if I've never seen the emperor, I've never seen the king, they didn't have any presidents, they didn't have any democracies years ago. So if I'd never seen the king, but I saw his photograph in the newspaper, and I'm walking in the Capitol, and there's someone walking towards me with two secret servicemen on either side, I can identify this person as the king because I saw his photograph in the newspaper. So he says, the Torah is like a photograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a description of Elokus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't give us an outright description. We wouldn't understand one word. That's the Lashon that it has in the Kuzari, has such a Lashon. Other Rishonim have that expression, Iliyadaitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand what Alakus is all about, I would be the Ribbono Shalom himself, the only one who understands Alakus is Ribbono Shalom. So he gave us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of what Alakus is all about. So that's where Rashi quotes from the Tanoim Achumish. How does one possibly fulfill the mitzvah of V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha? How do you develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By learning Torah. If you get to know the being better, when you get married, say you know your spouse a little bit. After you're married for a while, you get to know the spouse better. So you'll see that there are even more milas that you weren't aware of before, and your love will grow for your spouse. Because to the extent that you have knowledge of who the spouse is, to that extent you will be able to develop love. But we don't know anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam. When we learn the Torah, we will get a description of Elokus, and we will be able to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos talks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So he raises the question, how does a person develop Avas Hashem? So he says, you look in the beautiful world, and you look in the stars, and you look in the trees, and you look in the grass and everything, and you see God created such a beautiful world, you can't help but develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who created such a beautiful world. So they say from the Brisker Rav, he didn't understand what Rashi says in the Pasuk. The way to lead to Avas Hashem is by learning Torah, and the Tanoim pointed out. How can the Rambam argue with, he has a right to argue with Rashi, but here the Tanoim are saying this. So they say he didn't understand. How can the Rambam give you his way to develop Avas Hashem if the Tanoim said differently? So it could well be that this Mishnah is where the Rambam got it from. It says, Hamafsik, a person is learning Torah, so Mahalach Baderach, and he's reciting Mishnayos by heart, and then he's Mafsik b'Mishnas v'Emamano Ilan Zemano Nirzeh. That's another way of developing Avas Hashem. One way to develop Avas Hashem is by learning Torah. Another way is to look at the beautiful world. Manoa Ilan Zeh, Manoa Nir Zeh. And the Bar Tanura says, he's going to say Manoa Ilan Zeh, Manoa Nir Zeh, and he's going to recite a bracha. Baruch Shekoch Aloi Ba'ilamoi. What a beautiful, what a wonderful God we have that he created such a beautiful world. I was learning with my Sunday Chavrusa, some of you know who he is. So we learned that Gemara, that if you see a beautiful woman, you say a bracha. Whoa! When he goes home, he's going to say the bracha. When he sees his wife, he got all excited. Yeah, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva bumped into this non-Jewish girl, and then he said the bracha, bracha, kachalav by lama. Okay. Gemara tells the whole story, how Rabbi Akiva said the bracha. So the person is mafsik bin mishnasai, and he says, mano ilan zeh, that's another way to develop Avas Hashem. So the Mishnah says, but not in the middle of learning. If you're not learning, so then you should look at the beautiful world and thereby develop Avas Hashem. But in the middle of learning, that's a different approach to develop Avas Hashem. In the middle of learning should not be mafsik min mishnasa. There's a famous line that appears in Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch's writings. He says that he's going to go to Switzerland to see God's beautiful Alps. You have to see all the beauty of the world to develop Avas Hashem, like the Rambam says, but not in the middle of learning. You're not supposed to be mafshik but mishnasai. Yomim mano ilan zeh. That's not proper. The Mishnah has a very interesting expression. When people give charity, so a lot of people have the attitude, this is my hard-earned money, and I have a right to give it wherever I want. So I have an acquaintance of mine, is not a friend, an acquaintance who gave his money to a dog hospital in Saudi Arabia. He has the right to do whatever he pleases, a multimillionaire. He gave a lot of money also to support the Arabs. He's a Jewish person, a little bit religious, but a little bit sedate. So he was all for the peace program in Eretz Yisrael. He's supporting Arafat and everything. All the shtusim habom. So the Mishnah says, Tein la mishalo. Mishnah here, it's Mishnah Zayin. Tein la mishalo. And the other Mishnah says, it's Mishnah Ches. Shatov shalcho shalohu. You have to have the attitude that it's not your hard-earned money and you have the right to do whatever you please. It's my hard-earned money and no one else has a right to steal it from me. If someone steals it, they have a right to sue him and to bring him to a din Torah. He has to give back the money. But when you're distributing the money to tzedakah, you have to have the attitude that all the money belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're only an apotropos. And the apotropos is supposed to follow the instructions that the balabas gives him. So we have rules and regulations. How are you supposed to distribute the tzedakah? You have a Seder Kedimas. Someone wrote a sefer about the Seder Kedimas in tzedakah. it says you have to first give to your relatives from the father's side of the family, then you give to the people who live in the same city, then you have to give to Ani Eretz Israel, then you have to, other Aniyim. I have a whole list of priorities whom you give tzedakah to. So someone wrote a sefer, he thought kedimus means which check do you make out first. That's not what it means. It means where do you give more money. You give 2/3 of your money here. If your relatives need, if you have poor relatives, I don't have any close relatives who are poor, so it doesn't apply. But if a person has close relatives who are poor, he shouldn't give all of his tzedakah to the relatives. You should give up until 2/3 of the tzedakah to the relatives. And then you have you should give, if there was so many New York City, there are a lot of anim. That's not called aniya yicha. Aniya yicha means the anim that I bump into. I'm not the anim in Brooklyn. That's not aniya yicha. Even the only anim in Washington Heights, I don't bump into all of them. Aniya yicha means if you live in a little village, the anim that you have a shaykhis with, or the institutions, let's say the local shuls of the local yeshivas. Local shuls of the yeshivas means the shul that I daven in. Or the yeshivas where I learned and my children learned, my grandchildren learned. So that's called aniya yicha, the institutions that my children-in-law learned in and so on. That's all called aniya yicha. So you have to give. The kedima means you give more of your money to that cause than to others. You are not the balabas to decide to give the money wherever you want to. You have to attain la mishalosh, shatov shalcho shalohu, a person to have the attitude. He's only an apotropos on the money. And the balabas, the real balabas, is really the Ribono Shel Olam, and he has to distribute the money to the tzedakah in accordance with the wishes of the balabas. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that when we daven the Ilah, we say vidui again, all of Yom Kippur we say vidui, and then we add a line that we didn't add the whole Yom Kippur. You should give us the strength to stop stealing. Everybody steals. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that Hanusham Aloch Vagub Shaloch, our body belongs to God. Our body belongs to God, our soul belongs to God, all of our talents, God gave us all the talents. So any money that we earn, really, kol mashikon ever kon arabo. So whatever a person does in Avera with his body or with his money, so he's in violation of Gezel. Any Avera that you do, in addition to being in Avera, is also Gezel, because everything really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki mimcha hakol miyotcha nesan aloch. The Gemara quotes David HaMelech, says like that in Divrei Hayamim. Ki mimcha hakol miyotcha nesan aloch. We're only apotropsing, giving back to the Ribono Shel Olam what he gave to us. Mishnah has the next Mishnah right after this. Hamapsik b'mishnasai. This is all. Tenu mishalosh alchach v'shalcho shalohu. Then it says, Hamalach v'dach mapsik b'mishnasai. Then the next Mishnah quotes Rav Meir saying, Hashrechach d'arechad b'mishnasai. Malo v'akosu kilim mischai b'napshom. That in the days of the Gemara, they divided the Talmid HaChachamim into two different categories. There was a Sinai and an Oike Harim. Sinai means the Baki, who remembers all the dinim. And the Oike Harim is the one who's not such a big Baki, but he's a big Machadesh. So the Mishnah tells us, Hashrechach d'avirach mimishnasai. If you're going to forget, in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnais were not yet written down. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was after Reb Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi also, he edited the Mishnais, but it was still recited Baal Peh. It wasn't written down, it wasn't committed to writing. They didn't learn from a sefer until the days of Rabbeinu Ravashi, way later. And then the Gemara wasn't written down until way later, in the days of the Goinim. So the Torah of Baal Peh is all being transmitted Baal Peh. So he said that's a serious issue. If you're going to forget, so they quote from Rav Chaim Volozhin that he thinks that this Mishnah doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. The Mishnais is in print, and the Gemaras are all printed in Shulchan Aruch, and everything, any shot you have, you can find it on Google in less than a half a minute. So you're not Mishchai Ben Afsh if you forget. The forgetting is an Avera if it'll be lost forever from the Torah Shabbat. But it's not going to be lost forever. So, Mishgefelach. you should try. The Gemara always says the significance of chazar. You have to keep on chazaring so you won't forget. But if you do forget, it's not as serious an aver as it used to be. Then there's a fascinating comment that the Tiferes Yisrael has here in this edition. Is Mishnah Yud Aleph. So he says, much of his commentary on Pirkei Avos is taken from the Sefer Yain Levonin. I still didn't have a chance to look it up in the library. I seem to remember that my father had in his library the Yain Levonin. I think it was by Naftali Hertz Wiesel. He was one of the Maskilim, and he wrote the Bir. He wrote a Bir V'sum Sechel on Chumash and Chamishu Chumash Torah. So he has the Psukim in the Chumash, and he has Moshe Mendelssohn's translation into German, and then he has his Bir on the bottom of the page. And many don't want to use the whole Bir because he has Mendelssohn's translation. But it's a good Bir. He was a religious person, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's the one who wrote the Sefer Yain Levon, and I seem to remember that it has a Haskama from the Nadi Behuda, that they considered him an Orthodox person. So here the Tversel says he used that Sefer a lot, that Sefer on Pirkei Avos, a lot of Agadita there. So he says, on this Mishnah, he points out that the Mishnah is listing off the people who are Elam Chelek Olam Abba. And there are five different levels of Apikursim. The Mishnah says in Perek Chelek, Kol Yisrael Yashem Chelek Olam Abba. And an apikoros is ein lechelik alamah, but what's an apikoros? So the Gemara says apikoros is one who is mevazeh talmid hachachamim. So the Maharil has a tshuva. He discusses the local shochet in town was always mevazeh the rabbi. So mevazeh talmid hachachamim is an apikoros, and it says in Yerideya apikoros yishachat eshchitos anevela. So nobody can eat the flesh from the shochet shechts. So the Maharil says that's not what it means. The Rambam writes an apikoros, one of those who believe in Ikori Ha'amun. Where did the Rambam get it from? The Mishnah, the Gemara says apikoros mevaza talmid hachachamim. So the Maharil writes in the Tshuva, that's not what it means. Apikoros means, and Epicurean means, one of those who believe in Ikori Ha'amun. What the Rambam wrote, the Gemara says that one is mevaza talmid hachachamim, it deserves such a chum, it's such a chum de gaver, he deserves the same oinish as one who doesn't believe in Ikori Ha'amun. But apikoros dina ka'akum only applies to the apikoros that doesn't believe in ikori emuna. It doesn't go on the one that's mevazeh the talmid chacham. So this Mishnah is listing off five levels of apikorsim who don't believe in ikori emuna. So he said the first level is amchalalas hakadoshim. Amchalalas hakadoshim, so he quotes when the Yain Levonin, and he thinks of Shadi, he doesn't believe in God, so he doesn't believe that there's any concept of Kedusha anywhere in the world. There's no Kedusha in the world at all. Doesn't believe in God. Then Hamavazes Hamoados, what does that mean? So Rashi says, there's a Pirush Rashi also on Pirka. Rashi says it goes on Chalamoid. A lot of people go to work on Chalamoid like regular work day. So that's not right. A lot of people don't dress up L'Kavod Chalamoid. You have to wear nice bigotim. You shouldn't wear the same. Big Deyantav is supposed to be nicer than Big Deshav. Big Deshav is supposed to be nicer than Big Dechalamoid. And then Big Dechol is supposed to have different kinds of clothing. Yontav is the highest level, Shabbos, Chalamoid, and then Big Day Chol, four levels. Then they say Big Day Chosam and Kala should be even fancier than Big Day Yontav. So others say that's what it means, Hamavazes Hamoedos. He doesn't treat Chalamoid properly, he doesn't dress up nicely for Chalamoid, or he goes to work on Chalamoid. But this Pirush that he quotes from the Yain Levonin, he says the Mishnah is listing five levels of Apikurs in descending order of how terrible the Averis are. So the first one, Chalas HaKadoshim, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe that there's any concept of Kedusha anywhere in the world. Then he said, the next one, Avazes Hamar, they said, believes in God, but he doesn't believe that the Jewish people are the Am HaNivchar. That all of the Am Tovim all revolve about the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the Jewish people. Everything is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there are Jews who don't think that the Jewish people are the Am HaNivchar. There's a certain, he used to be a famous person now, nobody remembers who he was. He's an old man already, he's over a bottle. So he used to say that the Jews are the Am HaNivchar, the Christians are the Am HaNivchar, the Muslims, every nation is the Am HaNivchar. So it's a joke. The word Bechirat means the exclusion of all others. not that everybody is an Am HaNivchar. The Jewish people were singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Am HaNivchar. It doesn't mean that we have the right to do whatever we want and get away with anything. Like we're banim lamokim, so sometimes the father lets his son get away with all kinds of shtick. That's not what it means. It means the reverse, that we were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help raise the other children. B'ni Bechori Yisrael, the oldest child, is supposed to help the parents raise the other children. And with the Aman Ifcha, we are held responsible for things that by other people, if they would do this, they wouldn't be punished. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakdik and Tzadikav Kuchut Asaira, the Jewish people will be punished for slight averis, even though someone else would do it, wouldn't be considered an aver at all. The Jewish people are the Yala Anivcha, Ben Lahakal, Ben Lahachmer. We suffer Ben Hashemayim also because of the fact we're Am HaNivcha. HaKadosh Baruch expects more from us than he expects from the Umas Olam. So that's what HaMevasas HaMoyah does, that's what he interprets, that he believes in God, but he doesn't believe that the Jewish people are the Am HaNivcha. Amal B'nei Chaver B'Rabim, that's considered a significant Avera. We believe that everyone was created with Tzelem Elokim, but they still even have a higher degree of Tzelem Elokim. And the reason why there's a concept of Kavod HaBriyos, the Pasuk says that the Kohanim are metami to the Zayin Kroven. The Kohen Gadol is not metami to the Zayin Kroven, but it's metami to a Meis Mitzvah. Why? Because a Meis Mitzvah, that's Tosfos has Lashonis, there's a Ganai Gadol and a Ganai Katan. Not all situations of Kavod HaBriyos are the same. Some are more serious than others. So Kohen Gadol is permitted to be metami to a Meis Mitzvah. That's a Ganai Gadol. You're going to have a Meis, no one's going to be metapel in the Kfur. The relative should come to the funeral. They're going to have other people at the funeral. The relative should come. That's a Ganai Katan if the relatives don't show up. But the whole concept that the Gemara has, that Kavod HaBriyos says, Deicha Dinim de Rabbanon, it's called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein de Rashi Tikkun, is based on the Pasuk in Chumash. The Torah tells us the beginning of Parshas Emor that the Tumas Kohanim is Nitcha Mimpnei Kavod HaBriyos. By Kohen Gadol, only if it's a Ganai Gadol, and by Kohen Katan, by Kohen Hedyot, even if it's a Ganai Katan. So whole concept of Kavod HaBriyos is based on the premise that man was created by Tzelem Elokim. All those dinim that the Kohen is metame to the Meis Mitzvah, that's only if it's a Jewish Meis Mitzvah, a Goyishan Meis Mitzvah, not either Goyim also have Tzelem Elokim. The answer is Kozman, that they're alive. There is an inyan of Kavod HaBriyos towards the non-Jews as well. Torah is Mecharish that by Jewish people, even after they die, there's an inyan of Kavod HaBriyos. But Kavod HaChaim is more common than Kavod HaMeis. Many people have a misunderstanding of what the Jewish religion is all about. They think that in Judaism, we place a lot of emphasis about dealing with dead. That's because they don't know anything about the Torah mitzvahs. They think that the whole Judaism consists of Yisker and Kaddish and Yahrzeit and Shiva. And that's the whole religion. That's the least significant part of our religion. We deal with the dead people also. But Kavod HaChaim is certainly more chomer than Kavod HaMeis. The Gemara has a din in Ksubas that if you have a crossroads and there are two groups, there's a group of people going, dancing and singing with the Chasen Kala to celebrate with them. Then there's another group going in the other direction of the crossroads and they're taking a mace to bury, so, and there's no traffic light, there's no red light, green light, so who has the right of way? So the Gemara says you leave the Meister and you have the Chosen Kala go first. Why? So the Shittim Kubetzis explains that Kavod HaChaim is other from Kavod HaMeisim. Pasuk says that if it's a Jewish mace, even after he died, there's a din of Kavod HaBriyos. While he's alive, for sure there's an inyan of Kavod HaBriyos. People, we have the practice when the Chevek Kadisha bring in the mace, by a Levayis, everybody stands up. So people wonder, I never stood up while the guy was alive. Why should I stand up now after he died? We're not, said the Bartanura, writes in Mishnayos and Bikurim, we're not standing up out of respect for the dead man. We never stood up for him while he was alive. Standing up out of respect for the Chevek Kadisha, who are doing a mitzvah now. Because the Mishnah says Bikurim, that when the farmers would be marching towards the Beis HaMikdosh and they would go through Yerushalayim, everybody would stand up out of respect the farmers. They're not big Talmid HaChachamim. They're on the way to do a mitzvah, so they have to stand up out of respect for the person who's oisik b'mitzvah. And even Talmid HaChachamim have to be mafsik from learning and stand up out of respect for the one who's doing the mitzvah. So it's not really, we're not standing up out of Kavod HaMeis. when the non-Jew is alive, he has Tzelem Malakim, so you have to be respectful. After he dies, no more Tzelem Malakim. By the Jewish people, it's a different word. We have the Gemara Megillah has a brisa. We divide all religious articles into two categories. There are Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. So Tashmishei Kedusha is a mezuzah, say the Torah Tefillin. So even if it's so puzzled that you can't fix it, even if you have a plastic cover that you put the mezuzah in and then it broke, you can't use it again. So the din is you have to put it in shames, you have to bury it. But if you have Tashmishei Mitzvah, let's say you have the esrog and the lulav are left over after sukkahs, you're not going to use it next year. Or let's say you have a shofar, and it's an old shofar, and you don't want to use it. You have an old talis, and you bought a new talis, and nobody wants the old talis. If you can donate it to the shul, or give it to a poor man in a neighborhood, so fine. Nobody wants it. It's so old and worn out, nobody wants it. So whenever you have a tashmishi mitzvah, after the zman mitzvah is up, then the din is nizrakim. You throw it in the garbage. But if it's tashmishi kedusha, nigdozim. So how did the Tanaim decide what's tashmishi mitzvah, what's tashmishi kedusha? The Ramban in the Mocham is the end of my cotton, interprets a brisa in Obal Rabasi that it's a machlekes haTanaim, whether it's tzitzis, whether talis or mitzvah, whether tzitzis is tashmishi mitzvah, tashmishi kedusha. What's the machlekes all about? What's the criteria? How do you determine? So we usually assume not like that Ramban. We assume there never was a machlokes whether tzitzis is tashmishi mitzvah. It's certainly tashmishi mitzvah, not tashmishi kedusha. What's the definition of tashmishi kedusha? Rab Chaim Alojan writes in Nefesh HaChaim, when you have psukim written, and to the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent there's going to be a level of kedusha. So the mezuzah only has Shema V'Hoyam Shemaya, so has one level of kedusha. The tefillin have Shema V'Hoyam Shema Kadesh V'Yokiv Yacho, so it has a higher level of kedusha. The Shal Rosh has two shins, more than the Shal Yad, the two shins on the outside. So the Shal Rosh has a higher level of kedusha than the Shal Yad. The Gemara said there's a din in Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridni. You're not permitted to convert a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad, but you may convert a Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh, because the Shal Rosh has a higher level of kedusha. And the Sefer Torah has more parshias, has all the Dal parshias plus more. So that's the definition, that's the criterion to determine any given item is a tashmishi mitzvah, tashmishi kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that the Jewish person has the status of a tashmishi kedusha because the malach teaches the baby kol haTorah kula. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole yotzeit shir to explain that all in any kedusha are rooted in divrei Torah. You have to have divrei Torah. There's such a tesis in the middle of Nozir. Tosfos says that Beis HaMedrash has Kedusha because you learn Torah Sheba'al Peh. Beis HaKnesset has Kedusha because there's a Sefer Torah there, has Torah Shebichzav. And the Gemara has a Machlokes, which is a higher level. This Beis HaMedrash, where they learn Torah Sheba'al Peh, or the Shul, where they have a Sefer Torah, Torah Shebichzav. The Machlokes is the end of Megillah. We pass on the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than Beis HaKnesset. You're permitted to convert a Beis HaKnesset into a Beis HaMedrash, but you're not allowed to do the reverse because that'll be a violation of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. So again, so the all the dinim of Kavod Abriyas apply when the guy is alive. They're a dinim of Kavod Abriyas. After the guy dies, he's like a tashmishi mitzvah lachas ma mitzvasan. But if a Jewish person dies, you have to still, even then, you have to show Kavod Ameis, because the Jewish person, every Jewish person, even if he didn't learn a word while he was alive, but the Malach taught him kol haTorah kula before he was born. And even then the Malach slaps the baby's cheek and he makes him forget everything, so we assume that it doesn't make sense that he forgets everything. Why did the Malach waste time to engage in an act of futility to teach him kol haTorah kula if he's going to make him forgettable? So obviously something does remain. So that's why there's Amal Mpnei Chavero Barabim, that's Gor Gefer L'Chavero, but Kavod Abriyas, the whole idea of Kavod Abriyas is based on the assumption that every person has a Tzelem Malakim. Bnei Yisrael have the status of Banim Lamokim. Yeah. So these are the different levels of Apikusim that the Mishnah says Zayin L'Chelik L'Alam Abba. Okay, good luck on your finals. Tomorrow we're going to do Parshas Behar.
Hello.
I didn't make a book from the Satan Rebbe that he said women can't only learn Torah Shavuot without Rashi, just straight. So how do you understand these Gemaras that the Malach that everybody called Torah Kula? No, they didn't teach only about the one Torah.
No, no.
The Rambam says that. You teach women Torah Shavuot Tzavah. Yeah, you shouldn't teach Torah Shavuot
Tzavah. It's called Where's the makor for the Malach teaching the baby Kotor Kula?
That's the Gemara Nida, Sof Perigimol. The first page in the Tanya. Quotes Tanya the Brisa, Tanya the Nida, Sof Perigimol.
It's that Brisa. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you're suffering? No, I live on Sunday. Oh, fine, yeah, we can do it.